The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, Thursday edition. No Dom. He worked so hard yesterday, he had to take an early weekend. Rich still here on the board, lightly screening your phone calls. Rich, I'm glad you're reliable. Well, Dom's reliable. Reliably absent, but he'll be back Monday. So anyways, catching up on the day job, my understanding, something of the sort. Maybe he's just day drinking. Who can tell?
Well, he's doing what he does best, whatever that is.
Whatever that is, he's really good at it. So let me give you some of the headlines of the day. You're going to have to play along today, and you can always join us, 844-967-2789. Did I mention Rich barely screens you? So you can always join. Here are a few of the day's big headlines. Donald Trump, a general news conference. Not a specific news conference, no particular reason why, but a general news conference he held today at Mar-a-Lago. And one of the things I found quite interesting, and I could tell he's flailing a bit, not just because he's rambling. He always does that. I mean, it was just a massive, long-ass word salad. I watched more than a half an hour. He went, what, like an hour, something like that? But part of what Trump had to tell the assembled media at Mar-a-Lago, Kamala Harris can't really draw a crowd. Not like him. And, you know, it was interesting. I took a few notes here. I'm acted like a real reporter, used the reporter's notebook and everything. So I took a few notes from this general news conference. And it was funny. It was like Trump was a reverse auctioneer when he talked about Kamala Harris and the crowd she could draw. And he said, you know, I hear she got 2,000 yesterday. Well, let me tell you, Trump, I was there. That was a hell of a lot more than 2,000. The campaign's estimate, more than 12,000. Crudy's estimate, that seemed larger to me than a Kohl Center crowd. Like when they leave. You know, that's how I judge most of my crowd sizes. Is that a Camp Randall crowd? Is that a Kohl Center crowd? Is that a Lambeau crowd? You know, you sort of judge crowd by just like, how many people, how big is the mass of humanity walking down the street after the event relative to what it's like at a Packer game, a Badger game, whatever the case may be. I would have said that was a Kohl Center size crowd. Would she have filled every seat? I'm not clear. But I'd have guessed 15, 18,000, big crowd. Trump called it 2,000. And then he immediately, well, maybe 1,500. And within 30 seconds, 1,000. If Kamala gets 1,000 people, it's a big crowd, he's claiming. And I've seen Kamala Harris twice in the last 2 weeks, twice since she has become the nominee for president of the Democratic Party. Now, in West Dallas, they put her in a gymnasium. And it held 5,000, and they jammed in at least 5,000. I would have guessed more than 5,000 if you'd included people waiting outside that weren't able to enter. Donald Trump, by contrast, claimed a crowd size of 107,000. You know, when I have a rally, I had 107,000 the other day. No, you didn't. You have never had 107,000 people for a rally. Now, later during the general news conference, there was a question about the January 6th. And I love the fact that he always claims nobody died that day. But they also try to martyr Ashley Babbitt, the woman breaking into the house. You know, a woman got shot in the face that day. And she died. At least one person died. You realize that. You talk about both events. But anyways, setting logic aside, now he's down to like 1,000, right? And he's laying out the big numbers at the rallies he goes to.
In South Carolina, I had 88,000 people. In Alabama, I had 68,000 people at a rally.
And then he also talked about the record number of votes he had gotten in those two states. And then promptly turned around and said, well, of course, it makes no sense that I lost Georgia. If I got record votes in Alabama and South Carolina, there's no way I lost Georgia in the last election. So he returned during his general news conference today to denying the fact he had lost the election in 2020, and he's back to claiming the biggest crowds ever. And he said the biggest crowd he ever spoke to was inciting that crowd on January 6th. Never had a bigger crowd than that, he claimed. You know,
I said patriotically and peacefully. No one ever wants to report that.
Yeah, so threw that in for good measure. But the largest crowd he ever had, and he aimed him at the U.S. Capitol, claimed he'd meet him there.
Go peacefully.
But if you don't fight like hell, we're going to lose our democracy, lose our nation. So go up there and be peaceful. You know, that was sort of the de-emphasized part, to my opinion. So part of what he did is he went out there and he bragged about the most massive crowds ever. And I'm like, where's Sean Spicy Spicer when you need him? And anyways, then he turned his attention at some point, and this now has become part of the news of the day. But he claimed he wanted to debate Harris 3 times, and he threw out 3 different dates. He threw out September 4th, claimed a Fox News debate that day, September 25th, which Trump claimed would be an ABC debate. Now, ABC was supposed to go September 10th, and he claims an NBC debate that day. And then a little bit later, he's contradicted in his own statement in that ABC News is now confirming both the Trump campaign and the Harris campaign have agreed to a September 10th debate on ABC. So I guess he's game on. Game on. We've got at least one presidential debate. You know, give me a week or two, I'll be claiming it's the most important debate of your lifetime and you should probably watch. But maybe not today. There's also some New Market University Law School polling out. And we had Charles Franklin on the big show yesterday, and I mentioned at that time, he's coming back today. He's coming back for the Happier Happy Hour at 5 o'clock today. But Mr. Franklin, Charles, Market University Law School pollster extraordinaire, is going to tell us in the national polling, this different polling than was discussed yesterday, but in the national polling, Kamala Harris is ahead of Trump nationally by 4 points. This is a stunner, folks. Just saw this on a Fox News graphic. Even Foxy News has to report in just 2 short weeks, Kamala Harris has jumped boldly into the lead of the national presidential race, according to what is a very reputable outfit, Marquette University Law School. Among likely voters, Harris receives 53%, this likely voters, Harris receives 53% and Trump 47%. That would be outside the margin of error. Harris up on Trump 6%. That is a bit stunning. In a multi-candidate field, again, this polling just dropped today about noon, in a multi-candidate field, in among registered voters, Kamala Harris receives 47%. This is everybody at all the candidates. Trump receives 41%. Again, she's up by 6 outside the margin of error. Now, Kennedy pulling 9% in this poll. Libertarian candidate Chase Oliver, 1%. The Green Party candidate Jill Stein, 2%. And independent candidate Cornel West, 1%. Again, this national polling. And it would seem to indicate Kamala Harris, squarely in the lead, head-to-head against Trump, and in the all candidates in polling, Kamala Harris beating his ass. So we'll catch up with Charles at 5 o'clock today. We'll go inside the new National Marquette University Law School polling, get voter attitudes on a number of issues. Looking forward to Charles. Kind of feel like I got cut short yesterday. Hopefully you didn't feel the same. You know, not enough crudy in your diet. Here's a little. Obviously, and if you weren't listening yesterday, you missed a hell of a good show. Crudy took his ass up to Eau Claire, and I saw Kamala Harris, and I saw her new VP nominee, Tim Walz, and I saw a massive crowd of very enthusiastic Dems. I estimate the crowd greater than 15,000. The campaign said 12,000 plus. They were there. I was there. There are photos on the Devil's Advocate's Facebook page. Believe me, there was at least 15,000 people there. There are still going to be some cars there today. Did I mention the field they had people parking in got very wet? And there were a number of people, and I was trying to cooperate before I had to run off and try to do a radio show with Dom. I was even in the field pushing a car yesterday, trying to help push it out. Five or six of us, front wheel drive, Chevy. And this lady's up to her wheel wells in mud that deep. And I'm just, and the first question before I started pushing, front wheel drive or rear wheel drive? Because I'm pushing on the back, right? I don't want to be too close to the backsplash. But the other thing I can tell you, it was hot as hell out there. The sun shining bright. And I got a little bit of a Rudolph nose going on here. And I got a two-day hangover, or at least I feel like it. I got a headache for the second day in a row. I got it from being in the sun yesterday, I suspect. You know, in the sun, in the air conditioning. Bad on my brain. Bad on my head. Makes my head throb a little bit. But I will tell you, I am nothing in comparison to Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chairman Ben Wickler. Oh my God, he went on MSNBC last night. He looked like a bright red-faced raccoon with white eyes. He had sort of the Trump, only instead of bronzer. He was so cooked. I mean, crispy sunburn. I was thinking, poor Ben, that looks painful. It's like you were at a rally of 15,000 or more in Eau Claire for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. You got roasted up in that sun, just like yours truly did. But here I am doing it. No, Dom, he's back Monday, but we got Rich and we got you on the phones. Be a part. 844-967-2789.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Thursday edition. I woke up this morning at the Oxbow Hotel, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, right in the downtown. Got to see Kamala Harris. Got to see Tim Walz. And not only did I get to see them at a rally with like 15,000 or more, I also got to see them right across the street. They came to downtown Eau Claire. They brought the motorcade down. I was in the gallery at the Oxbow Hotel, which just means they have a cool little art gallery off the lobby. And I was sitting there in the window facing the local store, it's called. And, you know, they got lots of neat stuff. My wife actually accompanied me. Mrs. Crudy went up there, wanted to see her some Tim Walz and Kamala Harris. So she was a stowaway on the trip. And she went in that store, said it was a great store. But we saw those two there, along with the lead singer of Bon Iver. And Bon Iver, apparently his name's Justin Verdon, the lead singer. He also came over to the hotel because apparently he's a lead investor in the Oxbow Hotel. Very nice little boutique hotel. If you have the means and you find yourself in the Eau Claire area, very nice place to stay. I think I mentioned before, they have the record players right in the room. And they have a record library right in the lobby. So when you check in, they encourage you. You can check out up to 3 records and you can take them up to the room. Final, you know, drop that needle, play them. They got a pretty good record collection. Last time it was Violent Femmes in the Doors. So woke up at the Oxbow. And, you know, I found myself looking for some of the coverage of the big event yesterday. And Fox News. Found myself inevitably wondering what Fox News had to say about this rally. Well, I did see the, air quotes, Trump general press conference when he was claiming,
when Kamala gets 2,000 people, they think it's a big deal. I get 107,000 in my rallies.
And they made other grandiose claims of large crowds. And I think I've mentioned on this show before, I went to Des Moines, Iowa. I once saw Trump at a rally estimated over 25,000. I would have guessed closer to 30 or 40,000. It was a big crowd. And that is the biggest Trump crowd I've ever seen, other than perhaps his inauguration day. That was a very big crowd, at least from ground level. If you're looking from ground level back at the Washington Monument, that's the tall one, right? The tall one? Yes, the Washington Monument. You look down the National Mall, and it did look like a hell of a lot of people. But of course, I didn't have the vantage point from behind where you realize there was like a row in front and then lots of dead space behind. But it looked like a lot of people that day. But this was the biggest outdoor rally I've gone to since 2012, the day before the election when Barack Obama came to Madison, Wisconsin, and held a hell of a party on the hill, Bascom Hill. Like 30,000 kids showed up that day, and you could tell they were feeling real good. Well, the new polling, the Harris campaign, you know, cautiously optimistic, but new Marquette polling has Harris definitively up on Trump nationally, outside the margin of error. So anyways, I did flip over to Fox News, and I watched some today, and I was amazed and pleasantly surprised to see the new Marquette polling represented in a graphic. Like the Fox News audience now knows Harris is jumping ahead of their guy. But Rich, gonna need your help. Laura Ingraham, perhaps you know her. She's part of the primetime lineup on the Foxy News. Well, I found it quite interesting. You know, she claimed her bona fides last night and made an ass of herself, but you can be the judge. Rich, if we could, let's play Laura Ingraham from the Laura Ingraham Show on Fox News. See if you note the error she makes in this statement. Please play it for the people, Rich.
And these are just facts, Mary Catherine Hamm. I mean, if you know Minnesota, and I don't well, especially Milwaukee, it's changed.
Milwaukee, Minnesota, it's not the same Milwaukee I knew when I was a kid in Minnesota. One must assume she's casting aspersions at Minneapolis and it's just so dumb she doesn't know the difference. But, you know, I find it quite ironic when they so obviously err and, you know, act like you're the dumb one. So that was Laura Ingraham last night, Milwaukee, Minnesota. Never going to be the same. Here is what the Cap Times is saying. And I would point out they're going to lean on some of the polling. But we are very close to what's going to be, I would say, a sleepy summer primary election next Tuesday, August 13th. You know, you got to go vote on Tuesday. Some of you are like, what am I voting for? It's a partisan primary. So unless you live like in the third CD where there's a couple of Democrats running to have the right to go and beat Derek Van Orden's drunken ass, well, you may not have to vote. You know, here in Madison, there's no Dems running against my guy, Mark Pocan, for instance. But there's plenty of heat up and down the ballot. There are plenty of legislative races, especially with the new fair maps. You got to go vote. You got to go plan to vote. And also, there are a couple of constitutional amendments on the ballot, and I'm going to recommend you vote no. And I'm going to read a little bit from Dave Zweifel at the Cap Times, share this with you, our fair audience. In New Marquette University Law School poll conducted, in a Marquette University Law School poll conducted earlier this year, the Wisconsin legislature did not fare well. In February of 24, the poll showed that the Republican-controlled legislature has never been more unpopular, and its presumptive leader, Robin Voss, sometimes called the state shadow governor, has never been more unpopular. Only 34% of voters approved of the job of the state legislature, with 58% opposed. And of the three branches of government in the state, the legislature was the only one with a negative rating. Minus 24, to be exact. The governor, Tony Evers, has a +7, 51% favorable, 44% unfavorable, while the state Supreme Court was at 45% favorable, 43% unfavorable. Voss himself was given only a 13% favorable rating by the poll's participants. And a major reason for those dismal numbers is undoubtedly the intransigence exhibited by the GOP legislative leaders in working with their Democratic governor the past 6 years. It has refused to release funding for the programs already approved, and it is thwarted, I tell you, gubernatorial appointments for no other reason than it can. So why should Wisconsin voters turn over to them what is now the governor's job to spend federal funds like the state receives for things like the environment, healthcare, roads, and disaster relief? Well, you shouldn't. I'll give you a little more of the Dave Zweifel, but the moral of the story, vote no twice on the constitutional amendments. And then come back and listen to the next Tuesday Devil's Advocates. Still got plenty of this show. Stick around.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Thursday edition. Rich, you playing the vinyl version? Be nice if we had some turntables in there. Two turntables and a microphone. And Rich, lightly screening your phone calls at 844-967-2789. A little bit more from Dave Zweifel at the Cap Times. We were detailing the unpopularity of the Wisconsin State Legislature. I mean, from a polling perspective, they suck. And you wonder why. Well, Dave Zweifel tells you in part why it is that the voters and the people polled here in the state of Wisconsin have such a god-awful opinion of the state legislators. When it couldn't get, according to Dave, conservative legislation passed the governor, things like outlawing private donors from helping fund elections, they, the Republican-controlled legislature, used their gerrymandered dominance to put constitutional amendments on the ballot. The 23-24 legislature has considered more constitutional amendments than have been proposed in the last 20 years. In the last 2 years, we've had more of these than the last 20 years. And the two that would take away the governor's power to direct federal funds are just the latest. Although the Republican leaders were perfectly fine with former gubernator Scott Walker, dispensing federal funds, they didn't like Tony Evers having the same power, especially when federal funds directed at COVID relief and later the sweeping Infrastructure Act significantly increased Wisconsin's share of the one-time federal aid. So GOP legislatures engineered a way to get around the governor by passing two proposed referendum questions to amend the state's constitution. The proposed amendments would give them power to approve or disapprove the governor's decisions. What could possibly go wrong here, folks? And just to give the pair of referendums a better chance at election time, they placed them on the August 13th primary ballot, which will undoubtedly be a low turnout election where perhaps 12 to 13% of the state's voters could easily be enough to pass them. Aside from the machinations behind the two proposals, one would declare the legislature can't delegate the power to appropriate money. The second would give legislators veto power over the governor's funding choices. It would subject the timely dispersal of funds to the chaotic whims of 132 legislators who rarely can agree on anything. We saw a costly example of that when Wisconsin legislatures failed to convene in time to get $25 million in funding from the Federal CARES Act that was provided, you know, extra unemployment benefits during the height of the pandemic. To get the money, the legislature needed to tweak its jobless rules. But Republican leaders didn't schedule a timely session. And the League of Women Voters pointed out that, unfortunately, the proposed constitutional amendments questions threaten to delay the federal funds we rely on during times of crisis. Here's a quote. Our federal tax dollars are essential, supporting everything from farmers, and small businesses to food banks and education. Adding unnecessary red tape will only slow down the process, keeping crucial resources from reaching those in need. We must ensure that our governor can allocate those funds efficiently and effectively. But Zweifel writes, there's nothing nonpartisan about the two questions voters will be asked to approve next week. They are part of a concerted effort by this highly partisan Wisconsin legislature to weaken the executive branch, a process that began even before Evers assumed the office after winning the 2018 election. Alarmed that their leader, Scotty Wanker, had lost, the Republicans quickly convened a lame duck session to remove some of the governor's powers that Walker had enjoyed during his tenure. And in the years since, the GOP legislatures have been unrelenting in throwing monkey wrenches into the machinery of state government, refusing to release approved funds for PFAS cleanup, secretly withholding money in land stewardship programs, blackmailing, and this was very galling, blackmailing the university system by withholding funds unless it stopped diversity efforts, making it next to impossible for the governor to fill vacant positions on everything from the Board of Regents to the National Resources Boards and all kinds of commissions and committees. Zweifel concludes, little wonder that just a third of Wisconsinites would give the legislature credit for doing its job. He encourages, as does Crudy, vote no next Tuesday to keep them from creating yet more mischief. Yeah, that's one way of putting it. 844-967-2789. I see you, Mark. Be a little patient. You could be first today. And the rest of you, join in behind Mark. A little more descriptor from the data wonk over at theurbanmilwaukee.com. What Tuesday's elections tell us. Bruce Thompson writes a little bit more. I know it's reading alouding, but, you know, bear with. Wisconsin's primary election next Tuesday is likely to be a low turnout, sleepy affair. In the partisan part of the ballot, many of the lines will be blank, except for an opportunity to write in a name. You know, you could always write in my name, folks. You ever need a fill-in-the-blank name, Crudy fits nicely in every fill-in-the-blank. Candidates' names will appear only if two or more Democrats or two or more Republicans are running for the same office. And with one exception and two constitutional amendments, no statewide races will appear on the ballot. The exception is the Republican primary for U.S. Senate to watch three candidates running against Tammy Baldwin in November. However, of the three, only Eric Hudvey has gained much attention from the press and or other places. Despite this, the run-up to the election raises several ongoing issues for Milwaukee and Wisconsin. Now, data, wonk, Bruce Thompson's going to take a look. The first is a tendency for some suburban politicians to blame Milwaukee for their problems. The second is the illustration of the tendency of Republican leaders in the state legislature to try and expand their powers over the other branches of government, i.e. the constitutional amendments. So, he continues, two recent Milwaukee Journal Sentinel articles illustrate the tendency to blame Milwaukee. Claudia Levins and Eva Nguyen, the reporters covering the two candidates running for Waukesha County District Attorney, note that both candidates have been blaming residents of Milwaukee County for most of the county's problems. That's Waukesha County's problems. You know, our problems all stem from a different county. The articles examine the two candidates, both Republican, running for Waukesha County District Attorney. And since no Democrats running for the position, the winner of the primary is the effective winner. Now, examining the historical data, the reporters conclude the cases involve residents of two counties are about equal. However, they found that Waukesha County residents outnumbered those from Milwaukee County in more serious misdemeanor and felony charges. By comparison, they found that significantly more Milwaukee County residents than Waukesha County residents were charged with lower-level traffic offenses such as operating a vehicle with revoked license or suspension. Now, they quote Brown University sociology, I almost said Scientology, it's a different thing, sociology professor Jason Eason is noting that violent crime in particular doesn't spill over from neighborhood to neighborhood across racial lines. data from the Milwaukee Homicide Review Commission's dashboard were considered with Eason's comments. Now, he's using graphs. They don't work on the radio, so I'm going to skip that. But let's talk about the constitutional amendments for a minute. The second interesting aspect of the upcoming primary election is Wisconsin's gerrymandered legislature attempt to use the constitutional amendment process to shift power to itself from the governor. And there are two elements to this strategy used by the legislature to ensure the proposals would pass. First, the proposal was structured as amendment to the Constitution rather than as an act, thus avoiding a veto from the governor. You know, their job is to pass acts, and the governor's job is to decide whether or not they're meritorious of becoming law. Well, Tony doesn't sign so many of their crazy bills, certainly not ones that would handcuff him and make our government more inefficient so they could have some sort of partisan whatever. So, you know, that's hence the constitutional amendments. They write on. Data wonk Bruce Thompson at the online daily UrbanMilwaukee.com writes, second, when it turned out that last year's spring election was likely to have high turnout, the legislature delayed action on the amendments so they would be considered at this month's election, whose turnout was likely to be very low. The assumption here is low turnout elections favor Republicans. And two constitutional amendments are on Tuesday's ballot. The second would end the governor's ability to spend federal monies without the legislature's approval, thus ending the governor's ability to react quickly in crisis. What a time to handcuff the governor in the middle of a crisis. And nobody seems to know what the effect of the first would be. It would provide the legislature may not delegate its sole power to determine how monies shall be appropriated. Now, Thompson writes, one possibility is that it aims to inject the legislature into the execution of Wisconsin law. If so, it would seem to violate the principle of separation of powers. So, we got Constitutional Amendment 1 with an unclear motive. It's not written for clarity's sake. None of these are. They're written really to confuse the electorate. You don't know what in the hell you're voting on here. I know there are some very good people that have early voted that I've heard reports voted yes. No, that's not the right answer. You vote no on these. But they didn't know. And they were confused. Why? Because they're written in a confusing fashion. The wording of these constitutional amendments don't tell you what they do. They don't tell you anything. It's very it'd be like putting a trigonometry question on a test, not giving you the input numbers you would need to actually answer the question and saying, answer the question. Well, I don't know the answer. You still got to pick. Pick an answer. Hamburger A or hamburger B? Well, I'm going to tell you, pass on the hamburgers. You don't need them. And they aren't really hamburgers. They probably have E. coli in this bad analogy. So anyways, vote no on the constitutional amendments. Vote yes on calling the Devil's Advocate Show. Doesn't cost you nothing. It's free. You can do it at least once per day. I'm trying to bring up my little thing here, but Mark from the SAC, you're going to be first today. Thank you for your patience. What do you got for me, Mark?
Thanks, Kurt. Yeah, and maybe those folks that voted yes, they should reclaim their ballot because they voted early, because you can reclaim that ballot and recast it and actually vote no. I mean, that anytime anything is so confusing, you should actually just vote no as a matter of, just should be your gut reaction, because you should know there's some effery that they're trying to pull, or Wisconsin legislature is trying to pull. That it is just sad that they're, you know, that, and the fact what just galls me to no end is that these are not written in the constitutional language. They're written in confusing language as well. We'll come up with something later on for the actual language, but you just let us do this, and that's just nonsense. I mean, that it is anathema. It should be anathema to any citizen that to allow the legislature to pull this crap, because the Constitution is too important to allow them to play these kind of little games with it. I mean, they should be ashamed of themselves.
But you know, Mark, they're going to say this is direct democracy. We're taking it to the people of the state of Wisconsin. You're voting on these constitutional amendments, whether or not we've written them in a cogent way whether or not you could possibly discern what we're asking you to determine or whether it's going to look like trigonometry on the page. Mark, they're claiming it's democracy at its best.
Hogwash. It's fascism at its worst, pure and simple.
Well said, Mark. Appreciate your call. Thanks for listening. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. And there is a proper way to eat the cream puff. And we have a Tony Evers cream puff tutorial. I don't know if you know, but with the state fair going on, Tony Evers has declared August 10th. What is that? Saturday? August 10th, this Saturday. Cream puff day all across the great state of Wisconsin. But the question becomes, how do you eat the cream puff? Tony says there is only one proper way. So I'll share it with you so you can enjoy the way the governor enjoys them. Holy mackerel, stick around. More Devil's Advocates. A cream puff tutorial is only Tony Evers can give it. And you can also join us, 844-967-2789. More Devil's Advocates. Happy Thursday to us all. All night long.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It is a Madison night market evening right down here on State Street. I'm looking out the window. Much hubbub going on. They're assembling the wares. People are coming down. They're closing down State Street, you know, so you can walk it. Be safe down here. But come on down State Street, a Madison night market evening. I believe there'll be a contingent of civic media people down there. I bet they got swag. Come see them. 200 block of State Street. I may even poke my nose down there after 6 o'clock, sort of red and sunburned, Rudolph style. Appreciate you listening. 844-967-2789. I will be checking the text line. Haven't done so yet. Because I've got important news. According to the governor of the great state of Wisconsin, you know him, you love him, he's Tony Evers, and he's got some advice on the proper way to eat a state fair cream puff. And he has declared August 10th, cream puff day all across the state of Wisconsin. That used to be something you said about your opponent, right? This guy's a cream puff. I'm going to whoop his ass. Apparently, not in Wisconsin. And I will make a small confession. I think I've eaten one cream puff in my life. Not a fan. And the reason I'm not a fan is because they're so freaking messy, which I guess is the point of why Tony Evers has a special way of eating a cream puff. According to the Journal Sentinel, this is the most important journalism you're going to hear all day. How do you eat a cream puff at the Wisconsin State Fair without making a mess? Tony Evers style. Governor Tony Evers, arguably one of the most vocal supporters of the annual tradition, has a way to enjoy the sweet treat in order not to make a complete fool of yourself. Well, that never stopped me before, Tony. You have to get it in half. That way you're not getting it all over yourself, according to Evers. You kind of take it, twist it a little bit, and then one side comes up. And that's the only way to eat it, Evers says. I know it's a lot more fun to get it all over your face and all over your clothes, but I prefer eating it rather than worrying about taking a shower. It's still okay to take a shower, Tony. I tease. Another part of the eating a cream puff, Evers style, taking a few home, putting them in the freezer, and later cutting them in half with a sharp knife. That cuts down the mess even more. It's a perfect food, Evers tells the Journal Sentinel at the Wisconsin State Fair Wednesday afternoon. Now, there is a history of politics and cream puffs at the state fair. Wisconsin governors and cream puffs have a long history. The original cream puff debuted at the fair in 1924 at the request of John Blaine, Wisconsin's 24th governor, who wanted to showcase the state's dairy industry. Former Republican gubernator Scotty Wanker championed the cream puff because he's a loser. No, I'm just reading here. Former Republican Governor Scott Walker also championed the cream puffs at the state fair, requesting $6 million in his state budget in 2017 to renovate and expand the cream puff pavilion. $6 million, wanker? And in 2021, Evers encouraged people to get a COVID-19 vaccination at the state fair and sweeten the deal with a free cream puff. Oh, those were the good old days, weren't they, Tony? This year, Evers issued a proclamation declaring Saturday, August 10th is Cream Puff Day across Wisconsin in honor of the food's 100th anniversary at the fair. And there was some pushback on the governor's move. Of course there was. You know, Robin Voss took objection with it being declared Cream Puff Day. Let me read from this reporting. Speaker Robin Voss said Evers should be paying more attention to issues like crime and inflation rather than cream puffs. They should recall your ass again. I read on. State fairs are a common summer appearance for governors, senators, and other politicians, especially in the Midwest. Neighboring Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota, the new running mate of Vice President Kamala Harris, recently went viral for going on a slingshot ride with his daughter in 2013. And Evers said he's been attending the state fair with his wife, Kathy, for 55 years. Tony, that's longer than I've been alive. Sometimes he can be spotted serving up the cream puffs to customers. Here's a quote. We usually end up talking about politics, something that's concerning them or something that they think went well, Evers said. They don't usually ask me about cream puffs because they're already in line. They've already purchased it. It's mainly, how's it going? Or, why did you do this? Or, why didn't you do that? Oh, Tony, he's a dynamo, this guy. And a big cream puff fan, apparently. Evers also attended the state fair last week, posting a video of himself standing with a brat in a cow-printed baseball hat at his hip. It was a reference to the Brat Summer, a meme that has resonated with young voters after pop singer Charlie XCX endorsed Harris. It's just a fun place. People are here not to talk about politics too much. They're here to have fun. It's always fun having people recognize you and having a chance to talk to them. Yes, it is a brat summer here in the state of Wisconsin. You know, it was funny. I think it was Tim Walz yesterday at the rally in Eau Claire. He was talking about things that paired. Maybe it was Evers. Evers did a little preliminary speech before Walz came to the stage. And he was trying to pair up things. And the thing that gained the most enthusiasm from the crowd of about 15,000 in Eau Claire, the pairing that just says Wisconsin. Brats and beer. And 15,000 people just said, that's enough. They had heard their epiphany. That's all they need to hear. That they roared for. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. David, we'll get you next hour if you stick around. The rest of you, be like David. Call the greatest radio show ever. 844-967-2789. Trump had a general press conference where he generally was rambling and quite crazy. Also, new polling, Marquette University Law School polling, national polling. Harris leads Trump by a handful outside the margin of error. We'll talk with Charles Franklin in the happier hour. More Devils.